Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with, well, we're very, very pleased, Senator Chuck Schumer. Charles, if they say, or Chuck, which do you prefer?
Chuck.
You do?
Yes. Can I tell a story?
Please.
It's slightly off color. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
So we had an Uncle Charlie on my father's side. My mom wanted to name me Charles. They both did. But my mom hated Uncle Charlie, said only if he's Chuck. So I've never been Charlie. I was Chuck from birth, although my mother, 90 years old, still calls me Chucky. She calls me up. You know, she still follows what's going on. Chucky, you should be doing this.
Really?
Okay, but Chuck was my name. So when I was 5 years old, I ran up the stairs of our house happy as could be. I said, Mommy, Mommy, I found out. My name rhymes with luck. Then when I was 8 years old, I ran up the stairs of our house crying. I found out what else it rhymed with. But it's quite something to be a Chuck. In the fifth grade, PS 197 in Brooklyn. The lead song on the hit parade was called The Name Game by Mary Ellis. Mary Berry, Bo Berry, Banana Fanta.
Sure.
Well, the whole fifth grade was Chuck, Chuck, Bo Buck, Banana.
Yeah, fill it in.
And so I tell people having the name Chuck is like the Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue.
Yeah.
In other words, it makes you tough because people always use your name for rhyming things. I'm happy to be Chuck.
Did you have to beat people up like he did, Sue?
Well, I had my share of, you know, we used to have street, you know, it's not like vicious, but fighting, sure.
Sure.
In those days.
And you lived in Brooklyn. Now you live in Manhattan, right?
No. Brooklyn all the way. First senator from Brooklyn in something like 180 years.
Oh, well, that is impressive.
True to Brooklyn.
So I was sitting with
them. And wait, I want to let people in on one secret. There's a couple of pictures on his wall where he's not wearing a hat. Alan Chartok with a longer head of hair in his younger days. Now let's get to work.
I had Governor Cuomo on with us this morning for, you know, 35, 40 minutes. And I asked him, I said, well, Chuck Schumer is coming in. And, you know, he comes in, unlike you, does it on the phone. And I said, he said,
I'd like to see you, Alan.
Okay, so he said, you know, state and local deduction. And he says, killing New York State. And he said, you should lie down on the Senate floor and kick and scream until they do something about this.
I'm sure he was being figurative. He knows how the Senate works. We can filibuster, but only for 30 hours. You know, unless you'd have enough people. And no matter what we do in the Senate on state and local, the president would veto it. Now, let me first agree with the governor. State and local is awful for New York. It
the
is a dagger to our heart.
Yes.
We fought it in the tax bill as strongly as we could. Every Democrat voted against the tax bill, but they put it through by something called reconciliation, which means the filibuster doesn't apply. You can lay on the floor for as long as you want. You can't stop it. But the answer, we're going to do everything we can, and we're going to tell them if they want certain things on the tax bill, we'd like to do some of the undoing of state and local. We'll see where that heads.
Is that your highest? I mean,
on taxes, yes.
Right.
Absolutely. There are a lot of high priorities. I mean, you know, climate change is a high priority.
Sure.
Income inequality is a high priority. Voting rights is a high priority. But on taxes, nothing. And it's one of the reasons I'm working so hard to get back the majority in the Senate. Then we can do the same thing, reconciliation, if we had to deal with state and local. That's a possibility.
So let's go there. What are your chances, Senator, of taking back? I mean, very exciting. There's an ancillary question about impeachment, but what are your chances of taking...
Okay, well, let me just say first, it is so important this time to take back the Senate.
Right.
Now, obviously, we want to win the presidency, and that is probably the most important thing. But even if we win the presidency, and I think the odds are greater than half we do, Democrats, even if we keep the House, the odds are like 90% we'll keep the House, barring some cataclysm the other way. If we don't have the Senate, two very bad things will happen. One, Mitch McConnell will block everything that the new Democratic president tries to do, just as he did once he got the majority under President Obama. Nothing happened.
Including one very important Supreme Court judge.
And that's second. He will, you know, it's 51 votes for the Supreme Court. No filibuster for that either. And he will block any presidential appointment to the Supreme Court. My guess is for 1 year, 2 years. I mean, amazingly enough, McConnell said in the New York Times profile of him a few months ago, the proudest thing he did was withhold Merrick Garland. And so it's vital to take back the Senate. Now, in answer to your question, so I hope there'll be a rallying cry. Last time in the election, it was take back the House. We needed it. It was easier to take back the House than take back the Senate, given the Senate map. Much.
And how about the Senate?
This time, the Senate is not easier to keep than the House, but much better than last time. Here's why. In the last Senate map, you know, it's a third of the senators, and this was just how it turned out. Third of the senators every 2 years are elected. This is how it turned out. We had 10 senators running in states that Trump won. We had 5 senators running in states that Trump won by 20 or more. Missouri, Indiana, West Virginia, Montana, and Missouri.
You're good.
We lost 3 but kept 2 of those. We picked up 2 other seats. And then the big surprise was we lost Florida by a tiny little bit. This time, we only have 1 Democratic senator running in a Trump state, which is Alabama. And they have a whole bunch of senators in purple states up. So is it a lot easier than? Is it going to be easy? No, it never is in the Senate because the rural states get the same number of senators as the urban, the bigger states. But is it a lot easier than last time? Yes. And I hope there'll be a cry from one end of the country to the other, not only win the presidency, not only keep the House, but at the very top of the list, take back the Senate.
So how many you got?
We have 47 now.
Yeah.
And we have 6 or 7 of Republicans running for re-election in vulnerable states.
And you need, what, 4?
We need 3 with the president. But if we lose Alabama, and I don't know if we will, but in case we do, because that's the one tough state, we need 4.
Wow. And you think you'll get them?
I think if the odds are much higher than last time, yeah.
Okay. So I got a minute and 58 seconds left on this wonderful opportunity with you. So what happens is the moment that will be in posterity forever is you sitting there and Nancy Pelosi sitting there and the president sitting there. That is the image that will be engraved.
Well, you know, the last time we had a Democratic president, a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, was the time we did things for people, for middle-class people. We improved health care dramatically with the ACA. We reformed Wall Street to a decent extent, not as far as many might want to go, in the Dodd-Frank. We rescued the country and built a lot of infrastructure, which is still being built, some of the projects. We did things. And then in 2010, we lost not the Senate, but the House. And that was it. Then we lost the Senate a few years later. And they just blockaded everything. So if you remember, the last time we had all 3, we got something done. If you have 2 of the 3 or 1 of the 3, you can't get much done.
But as the old saying goes in our community, from your lips to God's ear.
Amen. As they say in many communities.
As they say in many communities. We don't want to get trapped on that one. There is the possibility, you think, of taking it back.
Oh, yeah. It's a good possibility. That's a good possibility, and we're working hard, and we're getting good candidates coming forward.
Our guest has been Charles Schumer, and I'm impressed by your mother's longevity. May you have it, too.
Listen to this. My dad is 95.
No.
Praise God. My mom is 90. Praise God. And on April 3rd, our whole family is getting together, God willing, to celebrate their 70th anniversary.
Wow. Thank you, Senator.